Huckleberry Finn, Twain, with all his inconsistencies and all his human failings, has a masterpiece, while the other is just, again, a social tract.
This is it, the true writer doesn't blench at cruelty or... He doesn't blench at facts. I sometimes think his parents, they're afraid to face our children with the facts, with the cruelty that lies behind. There's a very cruel background. A lot of it. We are afraid. We want the children's books not to upset them. I mean, this is just... it's such a difficult subject.
And yet you'd be surprised what does upset them.
Yeah, okay. But I think that this is the problem. How this is going to grow out of people writing.
Now, I think the writer writing from within from his own experiences within a group might be one bright spot to look forward to. Because part of the reason I think publishers and perhaps writers too stay away from this subject is that they never know what they're going to encounter when a book is published. They don't know really the line between stereotype and praises for a particular quality, for instance, are quite thin. We talk of stereotypes today, stereotypes which were which Negroes felt quite explosively about, for instance, 10 or 20 years ago. They don't feel so angry about now. If a book were to be written praising or emphasizing the qualities, musical abilities of Negroes today, I don't think any Negroes would be angry or upset by it and would think it was stereotyping anybody, because partially the values of the total culture have changed and music is appreciated a little more, for one, and for two, there are some very successful, famous, and glamorous people who are singers, and the same thing would apply for athletic ability, which once Negroes might have gotten angry about, because these things, once when the Negro was praised for musical ability or athletic ability, the implication was that was all that he was capable of doing. Well, two things have happened now. These things are in themselves quite lucrative in the way of profession as far as profession is concerned. And for two, they are much more appreciated by the total culture. And again, also the fact that Negroes are present now, I think, in most professions, and they are appearing more and more in public life. And it's ridiculous to think that a stereotype of a Negro, of the stereotypes which limit Negro ability to athletic ability or musical ability, will be accepted. These things, there are still cases where such things have to be fought, and you have to be careful about it. But I think as time goes on, they will mean less and less, because the Negro in general is accepted more and is seen by children, in particular, in more and more roles. On television, he's seen various roles, and the newspaper, even if the books have not quite caught up yet. But this is one bright spot to look forward to. The stereotype is going to be less and less of a thing to worry about, I think. And the fact that there will probably be more Negroes writing from within their own culture, and they don't have to worry so much about what actually might step on somebody's toes and what might cause an uproar from various pressure groups.
There's one book that we can look back to, written by a Negro writer in 1945, called Call Me Charlie, which is an extremely sensitive story of a Negro boy growing up in a white community, a white upper class community in Ohio. And I understand that the author is now working on a book about a Negro child in a public, in a private school in New York City, which should be very enlightening to all of us.
What I'm trying to say is, we are hoping to see many more books written that will explain to a child, perhaps, or help a white child to identify with a Negro in his life, in his growing up. And this really needs to be subjective writing. It would be very difficult for someone who's a good writer to objectively write of a Negro's life or childhood in the South in a way that would appeal to a child. What we are hoping for, really, is many more subjective writers.
Mm-hmm. Well, Starling, I think, accomplished it with Mary Jane. I don't know whether you read it.
No.
I think that it's only...
Not circulated in England.
Oh, yeah.
Mary Jane is over there on the table,
yes,
by the way.
That is, I think, one of the examples where really a white writer seems to me...
Really has that inside.
And
there is one comment I wanted to make about this all-of-a-kind family and books of that kind. I think they were enormously important in the period in which they were written and about the period that they were written. But I think they have limited value, and a lot of us have tended to give it a greater value than it really has. All of a Kind Family, and then the sequel to it, More All of a Kind Family, and then several other books that came out following that, Rachel and a few other things of that sort, are rather romanticized pictures of the Jewish family at the beginning of the 20th century. But an American child today would hardly recognize the Jewish family from these books. I think they have great value, but they have, to my mind, a kind of stereotypy that I don't like. All the children, the boys all study the fiddle, the girls all study the piano, they all go to the library. There's a great attachment to learning and culture. Whether the father ever went out on strike, I'm not at all sure, because you never see this in the books, but the mother is always making knedlach and a few other things like that, that have a kind of a romantic notion. Now, this is early 20th century, but it is not 1963, and I think that when books of this kind are read by children, they have to be read in perspective and in the period about which they were written. Now, too often, this is not done, and this becomes a picture of the American Jewish family, which it isn't.
May I say something about that, just in defense of a book? I haven't read that book. I don't know it.
How come?
But, you know, it suddenly occurred to me that there are relations that exist not only between children, but between children and parents. I'm going to go and buy that book to explain what I'm talking about to my child.
Right.
And it's true, it's perfectly true that the boys play the fiddle and the girls play the piano. And they went on strike, and then she came home and made knedlach.
Why did you get to that? Somehow, now I know nothing of the background of that book, but the book rang, it might be stereotyped, but there was something there that rang true to me, and it probably was that it was a true reminiscence of this woman. And so the book has integrity for me. That book, whether or not, as you look at it, now, and I think you're asking a little too much of authors. And the other thing that I would say about All of a Kind Family is this. This was a beginning of this type of book. Too many of the books on a religious basis stay within the religion and talk of the religion to the children within that religion. And I am looking for and hoping for that someday there's somebody, besides explaining the rites and what they do on certain holidays, what does a religion mean? What part does it play in this intergroup relationship? Certainly we've got plenty of problems along this way, and nobody has even started to touch, not about the problems of intergroups in this, but even in the explanation and understanding of what role does this play within. Now I would say, as I said, I would agree with you that All of a Kind Family then became the stereotype of this kind of book, and has perpetuated that kind of book. I would like to see perhaps a more realistic books with this background. I would agree with you that it takes quite an author to do it, just like it takes quite an author to take a picture book and deal with a problem. That's why I think perhaps we do need two categories in the picture book. We discussed that, and the last time, and I remember Major said that perhaps we should have a separate classification for these books. But the one thing that I have hope was that someday someone will come along and be able to do it. Now, I don't think there's been a person with a picture book yet that has been able to do it. But there might be somebody that will come along, and I would hope that we would look forward to this.
Earl, do you still want to talk?
Major, do you remember Help from Puerto Rico from last year?
Yes.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm.
That, I thought, was an excellent book. We had lived in Puerto Rico for a year, and we had also lived right here on 4th Street and on 3rd Street with Puerto Rican people in our house and around us. And that book is one that's for teenagers, Selma, and which is magnificently written. I don't think that the judges agreed on it. Expand ourselves in the spiritual way that Mr. Higgins spoke of, to try to encompass more than our own experiences, because you really take on quite a job to make such decisions. And I remember Major and I had a correspondence about that, because I think he tended to agree somewhat with me about that book.
And that particular book, Where It Fell Down, it was, I agree with you, it was a very good treatment of the problem. But it fell down in the writing.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, I agree.
Yes,
yes. I agree that it did.
It was put on the honorable mention list.
Well, this is the first time our judges have really had to sweat it out.
Well, I think this does pinpoint the problem that we have. There is such a crying need for a book of this kind. Just how far do we, you know, how true are we to these absolute literary standards, and where do we give a little? It's a very hard problem.
Yes?
Just thinking, I did not read Mary Jane, but I read a number of these books as they came home. And the feeling I had, and I really agree with Mr. Wolfe, is that they were using middle class standards and values with Negro children, and that when the book comes that's honest and from within, it will not be looking at it this way, and it might be very disturbing to a lot of us. But if it's written with the integrity you're talking about, it'll enlighten us much more than these books where the child is just like my daughter, only in a community, and she's Negro, and with great, and you know, pride and quietness, she makes a friend and so forth. That it's not the way it's happening. And when these books come from the people in Birmingham, I'm waiting to read them. They're going to be fascinating, because it will have to come not cliched. No one has the adult books coming are fascinating and very controversial. And my guess is they will have to be controversial in the children's books, too, because it's not an easy subject.
We went through this controversy a number of years ago about a book that I thought should have gotten the award called Southtown by Lorenz Graham. That was one of the first books that attempted to deal with just that kind of controversy. The judges turned it down. And as I remember the discussion of those years, it was too rough. There was a lot of feeling that this was too hard for kids to take. There was a shooting, and it was a very realistic kind of a presentation. Birmingham is maybe an extension of what happens in Southtown. But this, I think it was a beautifully written book, and to this day I consider it a sort of children's classic that never really got off the ground. But the very first book of its kind that ever made the rounds, and unfortunately just really didn't get going.
I think in giving an award, we have to fall back on some of the things Mr. Higgins was saying earlier concerning, first of all, a book does have to be literature. I felt very strongly about A Girl from Puerto Rico. My library has at least 10 or 12 copies of it, and I think it should be read, but it was a case where I felt that despite the bad writing, the message got across, but I couldn't criticize judges for not wanting to recommend this for the award, because actually it was quite clumsy in many places. And despite all this, I think it did get across, but to give it the award, is sort of sanctioning something that we shouldn't sanction. We're putting the problem before literature, and I think that that would be very dangerous.
And these are the age group, I think, that this lady was talking about. I think A Time for Tenderness and A Girl from Puerto Rico are aimed at teenagers more than intermediate age group kids, and they would be far better, in my estimation, to go read To Kill a Mockingbird or some other kind of adult fiction. I would like to see, I don't know if you know Mary, the Mary Stoles. I would like to see her tackle a book. She, for this age group, writes, is the one shining light for me. There are a few others, I would say, in for girls, and for boys, it's almost impossible. But Mary Stoles, if your daughter hasn't looked at it, I would say I would recommend it.
Well, I think that we have covered a lot of territory. I think that there's a big editing job here to get our remarks organized, and thank God for the tape recorder. But I really feel that we've got to use this material to bring pressure wherever we can. I feel very confident that these things do count, and that we will influence somebody somewhere. It's been wonderful. We've had a very lively audience. We thank you for your participation, and we'll see you next year.